Okay, so this is one of the most famous tshuva agaritas, and Daf Yuzayin Amud Aleph. Ray Tarrigan, I think, says it every year in Gush. So we're going to try to analyze it a little bit. Well, first let's read through it once without analyzing it too much, and then we'll try to take it apart a bit, okay? But this is, if you remember, Rav Avraham ben Rambam, certain agaritot are clearly
not real.
Metaphors. Are meant to get you to do tshuva. Inspire, thank you. This is an inspirational one, okay? I don't know whether it happened or it didn't happen, but it could have happened.
Should have.
For sure. The first wide line, okay? Kol bo'eha lo yishuvun velo yasigu or chayiv. All those who come back or return, this is how Gemara is reading it, they shall not return and they will not reach life. V'chayagash shlo shavu, Gemara says, I don't understand, what's the point? If they didn't do tshuva, heichan yasigu. Of course, if they don't do tshuva, how are they going to get life? Right? That should be definitional. Or if they remain sinners, they won't get ultimate life. So hachi kamar v'im yashuvu. He said, no. Even if sinners repent, lo yasigu orchot chayim, they still won't live. Lememra to kol aporish meminos mayis. Does that mean that anyone who separates themselves from heresy dies? I mean, anyone who does tshuva from heresy dies. I mean, the tshuva works, but they die because of it. But there was this woman who came in and said that the least of her sins was that her younger son was the child of her and her older son. But the least of her sins. He said, if this is the worst, the least of her sins, right, then she obviously was also a heretic. So the Gemara says, look, she did tshuva, but it wasn't full tshuva, and that's why she lived. Because it's only the pain of real tshuva that kills you, right, of real tshuva. Right? So Gemara says, some say that you only die from tshuva from minus, but not from sin, and they bring the story again. So then the Gemara skip down. Umeaveralo, right, got it? Meaveralo, it's the third row on the line?
Yeah.
That's our main story. Does the tshuva of sexual sin not kill you? Vatanya, but there was a braisa. Amru lava relazar ben dordaya, or dordia, or whatever, different people, pronounced different ways, I don't know. Dordaya, let's say. Zona achat ba'olam. There was not a prostitute in the entire world that he didn't sleep with. I said that. Pam achat shamashi zona achat bekrache ayam. And once he heard that there was a prostitute on the other side of the ocean. Vaita notelet kistinarin bishara, and she took an entire purse full of gold coins as her payment. So notal kistinarin v'halach v'aver leva shiva naharos. So he took this pouch of gold coins and crossed over seven rivers. Bishaz Hergel Dovar, while they were about to be intimate.
Is he teach slap to
him? What? No, that's the other one. That's the other one. There are two famous ones. Right? We'll get to it. Hificha, she passed gas. And then in this bizarre moment, Amra, Kishem Shavicha Zu Aina Choser Limkoma, just like this gas will not return to where it came from. Kach Elazar ben Dordaya in Mikablin Oso Bitshuva. So too, your repentance will never be accepted. And this apparently shook him out of his evil ways. Halach v'yashav ben Shnei Harim Ugvaot. And he stood, so he went and he sat between two mountains and valleys. Amar Harim Ugvaot Bikshu Alay Rachamim. And he said, O mountains and hills, please daven for me. So you can look at Tosfos, right? Tosfos just says the simplest shot is lo shiva lo kach elohaya omer belibo shekach yuchul lashiv. Right, this didn't really happen. This is going on in his head. Right, he's like, that's what they would say. Right, he's not really talking to them. Second possibility is inami sar shel harim ayameshikin. Alternatively, he's talking to the angels in charge of the mountain. Let's go with his first shot. Let's assume this is all in his head. Okay, I don't know what that means, but okay, fine. So amrlo achanu mevakshim alecha nevakesh alatzmeinu. Right, so this is all in his head. They say, look, before we don't. We can't daven for you. We have to daven for ourselves. Shemar ki arim yamush vagvaot timotetna amar shamayim right etc. Right, meaning we also have our problems. So amar shamayim vaaretz bikshu alei rachmim. He said to heaven and earth, daven for me. Amar vachem vachem alecha nevakesh alatzmenu. They said we can't. We have to daven for ourselves. See, as this happening in his head, it works very well. Right? Shnemar ki shamayim kashanim lechuv aretz keveged tivle. Amar chama luvana bikshu alei racham. So he said, sun and moon, daven for me. Amru lo atchenu bavaksh malacha nevakesh alatzmeinu shnemar v'chafra luvana v'shah chama. Amar kochavim u'mazalot. Stars, zodiacs, bikshu alei rachamim. Amru lo atchenu bavaksh malacha nevakesh alatzmeinu. We can't. We have to daven for ourselves. Shnemar v'nimoku kol tzva shamayim. Amar, and then he said his famous words, Ein hadavar taloi ela bi. It all depends on me. Right? It all depends on me. Hiniach rosho bein birkav, v'ga'ab b'vchiyah. So he put his head between his knees and he cried, Ache yatza nishmato, until he died, until his soul left him. Yatza batkol v'amra, and a voice came from heaven and said, Rebbi Elazar ben Durdaya, Mizumun lechayeh olam haba. You are invited. Rabbi, now he gets smicha. Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya, you are invited to olam haba. V'ha'acha ba'aveira haveyumid. And now you remember, right, the whole context was that
you
die when you do tshuva from sin. He says, you see that he does. He's doing tshuva on sexual sins and he died.
Why does it make him a thing,
so,
of rabbi?
So hazam nami came into avig batuva kimina damya. So it says it's not about heresy per se. It's about how invested are you in it. Right? Normally people are so invested in heresy, it's hard to extricate yourself. And the effort could kill you. He was so engrossed in sexuality that the effort to pull himself out killed him. Bacha Rebbe, at that moment, Rebbe cried. V'amar yesh kone olama b'kama shanim, v'yesh kone olama b'sha'a achad. There are some who it takes many years for them to acquire their portion in the world to come, and some acquired in a single moment. V'amar Rebbe, and Rebbe said, lo dayin, this is Yosef's problem, lo dayin l'bali tshuva shemekablan ota, not only are repentance, our penitence accepted, el shikorno to Rebbe, but they get smicha. Right? That's just overdoing it. Right? That's the story. Okay, that's the story.
Many people think that they can do these sins and then think, oh, I can't.
Good. That's the story. Now, it's clear, if I had to categorize this, right, whether it happened, it didn't happen, it could happen, right? Remember Rav Ramana Rambam saying that there's some, I don't know if it happened or if it didn't happen, right? It could have happened, right? Assuming that this is not him actually talking to angels, right? He's talking about, okay, it could be exaggerated for poetic effect, right? I'm not, right? Meaning, leaving aside that, right? I think we can all agree that a story of this type could have happened, right? It probably doesn't mean he literally went to every prostitute in the world. It means he found as many as he could, and then he heard about this one, and, you know, this was like his, you know, it could happen. There's nothing impossible about this story, especially if you read it like Tosa's first answer, that he's not really talking to mountains, right? This is in his head, right? He has a moment of tshuva, right? And he just... but either way, whether it happened or didn't happen, the point is, this is clearly of the inspirational camp of Agadatas. Yes, I think that's clear, right? This is like the paradigm of tshuva or something like that. Okay, now, before we analyze it, let's read one more story, and this is on the source sheets, right? And this is the one that Yosef mentioned, because you can't fully understand Chazal's perspective until you learn about the other guy who was obsessed with prostitutes. Right, we got two of them. So the other is in Menachot Daf Mem Dalet. Tanya, Abba Ribi Natan, Ein Lechol Kol Mitzvah Kala Shektuva BeTorah Shein Matan Schar BeOlam Hazeh Olam Haba Ein Yodea Kama. There is no mitzvah, not even a small mitzvah, that doesn't have a world in this world and in the world to come. I don't even know how much you get. Say Olam Made Me Mitzvah Tzitzit. I'll prove it to you from Tzitzit. Maaseh Ba'Adam Echad Shei Zahir BeMitzvah Tzitzit. There was one guy who was very careful about Tzitzit. He heard about this one prostitute that took 400 zuhuvim of gold, which is a fortune of money.
Is it more or less than the last story?
I don't know. 400 sounds up. What?
The same lady.
I don't know. It's a lot of money. Shigur la arba meot zuhuvim v'kava lo zman. So he sends it to her, right? He wires her the money, and he sets a date. Shegiyaz mano ba v'yashav ala petach. He comes, and he sits by the door. Nichnasa shivchata v'amrala, her maid servant comes to her, right? She's quite, right, high end here. V'amrala, oto adam sheshigir lecha arba mea zuhuvim ba, right? Your 400 zuz appointment is here. Ba v'yashav ala petach. So it comes to the door. Amrahi, yikones, nichnas. She said, come in. He came in. Hitzielo sheva mitot. She offers him seven beds. She set seven beds for him. Sheish shal kesev achat shal zav. Six were set in silver and one in gold. Uvein galach rachat sulam shel kesef. And there's a silver ladder in between them, right? I mean, she's building sexual suspense here, right? Ve'elyona shel zav, the highest one is of gold. Alto yajav al gabe elyona kshi aruma, and she is sitting on the highest one, naked. Vavu alo leishav arum kenegdon. He climbs all of them to sit next to her, also naked. Bo arbat tzitziotav v'tavchul al panav. And as he's getting undressed, right, his tzitzis smack him in the face, right? You know, it's like when you stand behind someone, right, who is very aggressive with his talus and he slaps you, right? You know, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? That. Nishmat v'yashiv lo gabay karka. So he gets off and he goes and he sits on the ground. Vavhi nishmat v'yashiv lo gabay karka. So she comes down to the ground. Amra lo gafa shel romi. She said, I swear, right, by some Roman something, deity. She'eni mani chatecha at she'tomer li ma'mum ra'iti bi. Reitabi, I won't leave you alone until you tell me what, right, what was imperfect about my body, right? Amar Allah avuda, he said, I swear by God, shelo ra'iti isha yafek motech. I've never seen a woman as beautiful as you in my life. Ela mitzvah achat sivanu Hashem Elokeinu v'tzitzit shema. But there's one mitzvah that we have called tzitzis. Uktiv ba'ani Hashem Elokeichem shtei v'amim. And it says twice, I am Hashem your God. Ani shatid li parav, v'ani shatid l'shalem schar. I am the one who will pay back reward and pay back punishment. Achshav nidmu alaik arba edim. They are like four witnesses to me. Amr lo, eini manincha, chetomar li bashimcha, mashem yircha, mashem rabcha. Right before, he was only the guy who paid 400 zuz. Now she said, I won't let you leave until I want your name, I want your city, I want your Rebbe, umashem yidrashcha, I want your yeshiva. Right? Shahat alamid botorah, what yeshiva are you in? Right, Kada v'natan v'yada. So he gave her the information. Amda v'chilka kol nechasea. So she divides up all her property. Shlish l'malchut, a third to the government. Presumably she was a prostitute connected to the government, which is what gave her such status. So she bribes the government with a third. Shlish v'aniyam, a third she gives to tzedako. Shlish natan v'yada. She takes a third of her fortune with her. Chutz me'otan matzot. In addition to that money, she takes the silver and gold bed sheets. Ubad l'veis medrash o'sher b'chia. She shows up at the base medrash of her b'chia. Amra lo Rebbe Tziva alai v'as yusinigar, and she said, please, convert me. Amra lo biti shema yinecha natata b'echad min tamidim. Maybe you want to marry one of these students. Hotziya k'tav miyadav not ulo. Amra lo l'chi zaki b'michei. So she gave him the sheet, explained the story, and he said, okay, go acquire your purchase. V'otan matzot shetziu lo b'isur, those sheets that you set for him. In prohibition, it's tziya lo b'heter, right? Now you can, she set b'heter. This was his world, and this world, it's beautiful.
It's good. It's like a romantic, like,
all it needs okay. to do is the guy with the
Now, this is also, again, this is also a presumably artistically, again, the core of this story may have happened, right? My guess with both of these stories is that there is some core story going on, right? With a little bit of artistic, you know, license, embellishment. If it didn't happen, it also wouldn't bother me so much. That's not the point. Right? But clearly these are of the inspirational variety. But now let's try to analyze a little bit. We won't necessarily get to every detail, but let's try to analyze a little bit of what's going on. So first thing I want to ask is, okay, we have the two stories, right? There are many differences between the stories, but they hang on two radically different interpretations of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Okay, let's start with the Gemara Menachot. The Gemara Menachot, clearly, what is this story about? What type of tshuva? What type of tshuva?
Oh, the prostitute, not the guy.
No, the prostitute and the guy. The guy also. But let's focus on the guy. What type of tshuva is it of the guy?
The one that doesn't kill you.
Good. Why doesn't it kill you? No, this is important, but why?
It wasn't so invested in it.
Oh, they end up getting married.
They get married at the end. But also, what is true, what do we, or let me ask it differently. What do we know about the guy in Menachot before his indiscretion?
Oh, you know what?
Nothing. Yeah.
We know he does know something.
Oh, he's Zara B'tzitzis.
And what else? He keeps tzitzis. What else does he do?
To all the prostitutes in the land.
No. Wrong story.
And he sat on the
pesach. He was rich.
No, he's a Talmud in the Shiva. He's rich, sure, but he's a Talmud in the Shiva Rebchia.
Right?
Meaning, the story of Menachot, yeah, it's the story of a yeshiva bachur who has a moment of taiva, right?
Or something.
Yeah, and what? And then his tzitzis remind him to be a good guy, right? The Gemara in Reuel Ezer ben Dordaya, Which is it? Is it the same story or not the same story?
No.
So, if you ask me, I would say the simple shot is no. Right? The story of Menachot is the story of someone who has a relapse, right? Who has an indiscretion, but fundamentally is a good person. The story in Avodah Zarah is the story of someone who's entrenched in evil. He has no redeeming qualities, and he somehow manages to do true at the last moment anyways. I think that's the simplest shot. Though I did see that there was an article that argued that maybe not, right? Right, there is one hint that may not be the case, which is that already at the beginning of the story they call him Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya. But I don't think that's a good raya, right?
Nah,
because
that's
anticipating the end. So I think the simplest shot is what I just said. Now, based on that, again, before we get into the nitty gritty, so Rav Uri Shurky, who's he's a leading religious Zionist thinker, number three, I won't read it inside for you, but he said the first thing you got to understand between these two. Remember the framing of the story in Avodah Zarah. What's the framing of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? The beginning and the end.
He was a Rebbe.
Good God, bad. No. In Avodah Zarah. Now back to Avodah Zarah. Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya.
Oh, they're gonna
love conquest. He had like
that's almost the end.
He almost completed.
He died.
You die from
correct. Is in what circumstances will Tshuva kill you?
Right.
Right. And what's the framing?
Really engrossed in it.
Correct. So Rav Uri Shurky points out that the simplest understanding is why doesn't the guy die in Menachot? And why does he in Avodah Zarah? What's the difference? Right, meaning the Gemara in Elazar ben Dordaya is the case of somebody who is, from the day he's born, a Rasha, and then magically, in the end of his life, manages to extricate himself from his evil, right, and become a tzaddik. But that is, the Gemara is telling you, is so hard that it could kill you, right? It literally kills him.
Right.
Because his whole life, from the day he's born till the day he dies, all he does, right? I don't know, he's some wealthy hedonistic heir, right? Let's just imagine who he probably is, right? He has money, right? And time, right? He has the money and time to, as the Gemara tells it, visit every prostitute on the face of planet Earth. And then he hears that there's one, right? In wherever, right? He lives in... Right, he lives in Israel, and right here is somebody, some whatever, I don't know.
Number four.
Whatever, right? So he, and he goes, right? That's how, right, Lahut he is after this, right? There's one I haven't gone to, right? Right, he has a fortune of money that he can pay her, and he will travel the seven seas, right? That's why I assume that's poetic, right? Now, you can get Kabbalistic, right? Seven is Teva, whatever, it's as far as you can in this world, I don't know, but... In English, we have this expression also, right? He traveled the seven seas,
right,
to find this prostitute, right? And then at the last moment, right, he does tshuva. That kills him because mamish, like, if I want to think about it metaphorically, why does that kill him?
It's
not him.
You realize how it's not.
Right? Meaning, for him to do tshuva, he literally has to become a new person. But think about it. Right? Meaning he was evil. This is his whole life. And then he manages in a moment to shatter his entire existence. It kills him.
Right?
As opposed to the Gemara Menachot, it has a happy ending. Right? Why? Because it's a Talmud Chacham. Right? Even going to this prostitute, he wears his tzitzis.
Right?
Meaning, right? With all due respect, not all of you wear your tzitzis all the time. Right? And this guy who's spending 400 zuz going to the prostitute has his tzitzis on. Right?
What's also beautiful is that, like, His moment of like self-control is what makes her
correct, right? It's beautiful, right? It makes sense. Why?
What?
Because as Rav Shurky points out, these are two different types of tshuva. There's tshuva, or if we put it differently, right? He says, right?
Which article is Rav Shurky?
That's number three, right? Right. I mean, I can read it for you quickly. Right? He says, "Have hashvat shnei maasim meoreret mivolcha ba'ochir lozer ben dozai shilem bechayvet shlamot tshuvato shlamit shabchia lo rak shlo meid el begifot tshuvato gam kibel masharatza." Right, this is like striking. Rav Elazar ben Dordaya dies, and the Talmud Rav Chiya, not only does he not die, he gets to marry this woman, right? The most beautiful woman ever, right? You know? So he says, "A pitaron na'utz kanirem nukudara motzash shel shnei ha'ishim." He said, it all depends on their starting point. Hatshuva, and now he explains it sharply. He says, "Hatshuva kishma keini." Tshuva is what it sounds like. Shiva El chilek hatahor shel nefesh. It's a return to the pure part of your soul. Oto chilek shloish tadev baratzon laveira. The part of it that wasn't involved in the sin. said chilek. Now there's many different ways, right? Return to God, return to yourself, right? The mefarshim divide on what tshuva is, but he says chilek. He's taking a position. He said chilek zematzubi derechlo b'tkuvada narud ve'alduk shavada chayim. He said, for most people, that's returning to your innocent childhood, right? Skip to the next paragraph. He says, there's no point to return to, right? I mean, the case in Menachot is the classic tzaddik who has a indiscretion. But Elazar ben Dayo, his whole life is in sin. Said, what's the Gemara getting at? What is his only pure moment? Kivyachol?
It's like in his semi-death state.
No, or before that, when he was an Ubar, right? Yeah, meaning when he was an embryo, right? His whole life has been evil, right? Therefore, if he wants to do tshuva, he has to die, right? Meaning, in his whole life, there was nothing good, as opposed to Tamar Rebchia, right? She shows up to the Beis Medrash, right? He remembers he should do tshuva, he goes back to yeshiva, right? Okay. Now, I'll add that another thing that seems to come from this is think about what makes them do tshuva. In the Gemara Menachot, what allows that the Talmud of Rav Chiya to do tshuva?
Tzitzis.
Why does tzitzis work? Right? Why does tzitzis work? Good. But what does that assume?
That he had already done it before.
Meaning that
he was accustomed to it before.
Yeah, meaning he's a yeshiva bacher, right? He knows what the tzitzis remind him of, and that's why. What does it take for him to be shaken from his taiva? A little bit of a reminder, right? A slap in the face, right? This is not who you are, right? Right. Dan Ariely is a professor of psychology at Notre Dame. Used to be at MIT. Right. He notes. In general, he's written a lot of about this. Right, how little tiny symbols are very effective at making us be ethical if we know their history. Right, and this is what he writes. He said, one professor at Middle Tennessee State University got so fed up with the cheating among his MBA students that he decided to employ a more drastic honor code. Inspired by our Ten Commandments experiment and its effect on honesty, right, that's an experiment where they just, right, this has been proven, that if you ask people to remember the Ten Commandments before they take a test, they're less likely to cheat by a significant margin, even if they don't remember what the Ten Commandments are. And even if they're atheists, right? The very fact that you ask them to think about a moral code is enough,
wow,
right?
Cool.
So he said, so based on this, Thomas Tang asked his students to sign an honor code stating that they would not cheat on an exam. The pledge also stated that they would be sorry for the rest of their lives and go to hell if they cheated. The students, who did not necessarily believe in hell or agree that they were going there, were outraged. The pledge became very controversial, and perhaps unsurprisingly, Tang caught a lot of heat for his efforts. He eventually had to revert to the old hell-free pledge. Still, I imagine that in his short existence, this extreme version of the honor code had quite an effect on the students. I also think that the students' outrage indicates how effective this type of pledge can be. The future businessmen and women must have felt that the stakes were very high, or they would not have cared so much. And then he says, religious reminders. He's an Israeli, right? That's why he can write this. He says, the possibility of using religious symbols as a way to increase honesty has not escaped religious scholars. There's a story in the Talmud about a religious man who becomes desperate for sex and goes to a prostitute. His religion wouldn't condone this, of course, but at the same time, he feels he has more pressing needs. Once alone with the prostitute, he begins to undress. As he takes off his shirt, he sees his tzitzit, or really they hit him in the face, fine, whatever, so he doesn't remember it perfectly. Halavai, all Chiloni Israelis should remember this Gemara almost perfectly. That's fine.
He probably just wanted to keep it simple.
Whatever, yeah. An undergarment with four pieces of knotted fringe. Seeing that tzitzit reminds him of the mitzvot, religious obligations, he quickly turns around and leaves the room without violating his religious standards, right? Meaning, and this is something in basic psychology, right? If you are basically good, what you need to keep you on the straight and narrow is a shtickl reminder, right? Shtickl reminder, that's it. But, right, that doesn't work for Elazar ben Dordaya, who is entrenched in evil from the moment he's born. So good. Now let's go back to Elazar ben Dordaya and say, okay, so what is it? Right? Let's read this story one more time. And let's try to figure out what is it that this Gemara is teaching us about tshuva.
I'm not sure exactly how. You said it's only a little reminder. Didn't him? It was just a little passing of gas.
Oh, but let's think about it. Let's go. Okay. So why does that work? Okay. Or the way Ray Tarrigan says, right? What is it about this prostitute that succeeds where no Rosh Hashiva, no Mashkiach, no nobody succeeded. Okay,
that's pretty crazy. So the prostitute tells you suck. You're not doing too well.
Good. Yeah, I know, right? Okay, good. So let's read it again. Let's read it again. Vatanya Amrulav al Rebbe Lazar ben Derdaya Shalaniach Zona Achat Ba'olam Shalabal La Pamachat. There was not a prostitute in the entire world he hadn't slept with. Shama She Zona Achat Bekrachayam. Here there's one out there. Think about it. Now let's try to analyze it carefully. What is it describing?
The best prostitute in the world.
But what is it describing? What is this teaching us about tshuva? Assuming that your Yetzer Hara, which I assume it's not, is not to find every last prostitute in the world, what is it teaching you? What drives people to sin? What is it telling you?
They want to accomplish them. They feel like they're accomplishing something.
Specifically, what is it? Come on. Yeah, it's the exotic, right? Meaning, he slept with every prostitute, but what keeps us looking for new taivas? Part of it is, right? Newness, exotic, something different, right? He heard Achat Bekrache Ayam, right? That exotic prostitute, right? Which, think about it. What is it saying? He's so steeped in promiscuity, right? He's so desensitized to sex, right? A prostitute won't do it for him anymore, right? No, that's the other one. That's the one we did in Menachot, right? But he says, what happened, right? Right, think about it, right? People, once they go down a road of sin, they have to up it because they eventually become desensitized, right? This is true of sex. This is true of drugs and alcohol, right? You become desensitized. So it starts with whatever, right? It starts with marijuana. It ends with, you know, whatever, right? That's that when people talk about gateway drugs, that's what they're talking about, right? Any addiction, right? If you get too caught in it, right? You always need to find the new, right? What drives you deeper and deeper into sin is that you're always looking for the next big thing, right? So he says, okay. And right, you see, right? This is like any sin, right? Once you're at that point, doesn't matter how much it costs, doesn't matter what you need to do, right? It's describing in an extreme way what many of us, right? Hopefully to not this extreme, feel with sin, right? Right, we get so caught up, it doesn't matter what it costs, right? So in the middle of sex, or about when they're about to sleep together, she passes gas. What does that do? Why is that the beginning of his tshuva?
It's a deterrent. It takes you out of the type.
Yeah, right? Meaning, if what drives people is that they've built it up in their head. It's so great. Sin is so great. All it takes is... Yeah. Meaning, right? This most beautiful woman, right? She's human. Right? And think about it, right? Tarragon is very into this, right? But he's like, think about it. It's the most visceral of senses, right? Smell. Right? Meaning, you know, he's so caught up. It just, right? There's that moment. You can't help it. You recoil. Right? It's like, oh. Right? It just like, right? It reminds you that... It looks right. She looks beautiful. It looks perfect. It looks amazing. It looks incredible, right? She's just a human being, right? She has all the physical failings of everybody else, right?
Tortilla bean salad.
I wouldn't even say it's failing. That's not
whatever.
It's
what?
Not failing. It's just the way your body.
Right. Meaning not failing. Meaning she's human, yeah. Right? He's built it up that she's beyond, right? Beyond nature, but she's not. Right? She's physical like everybody else, right? In the end of the day, and remember, think about it. It's not even just like every prostitute. In the end of the day, it's more than that. What does it remind him of?
Life.
Sex is
bad.
Just another, not bad.
Not
sex is just, is in the end of the day, right? It's another physical, right, activity, right? Necessary, enjoyable, yes. But to build it up into his head that it's so great, that it's worth spending all the money and going seven, right? Once you remember, she's just human, right? So, you know, to be crass, right, what it's probably saying is, look, right, he was planning on entering into her, right, and something else comes out and reminds him, like, you know, it's not like, right, think about how crass it is, right? It's saying sometimes what it takes to shake him out of his, right, this fantasy is a reminder, you know, she's human, right? This is, it's just maybe enjoyable, but it's not, right, it's not everything you've built it up to be. And then she says, right, and then she's like, "James Shavichazuena Chozer Umkama Kach Elazar Ben Derdai in Mekamuzo." Right, and then at the deepest moment, right, what do you see? Often people think, right, that who respects them when they are like in the depths of their sin?
The other sinners.
The other sinners. But what is the Gemara telling you? They don't respect you either, right? You think, right, that you're going to spend so much money, you're going to help all these people sin, and they're going to love you? They don't have any respect for you, right? They want your money, right? They don't have any respect for you, right? You think, right, that because you're helping them get their taiva, so they have real deep respect for you? Real deep respect doesn't come from helping other people indulge their pleasures, right? They have, right, they know who you are. So you, right? You know who they are. They know who you are, right? They have no, right? You think that this woman, right? In his case, this woman thinks you're the top of the world because, right? She's treating you as, you know, as this handsome man. She's, right? It's because you paid her a fortune of money, right? Paid her a fortune of money. She'll say whatever, right? But, right? But,
$10.
Yeah, essentially, yes. Right? Right? In a sort of crass way, yeah. Right? But he's saying, right, she doesn't think very highly of you, right? And this is true of all sin, right? We think that the people who sin along with us respect us. They don't respect you. In the end of the day, who really respects you, right? People respect people with self-control. They may make fun of you, but that's a deeper respect. In the end of the day, people have no respect for people who can't control themselves, right? He's saying even, right, the prostitute herself, right? She's saying, oh, look at you, right? Look at you. Right? You're so obsessed that you were willing to travel the seven seas and pay me a fortune of money, right, to have sex with me once. Right? You're pathetic. I mean, she's like, look, I'm okay with that, right? But I don't have respect for you.
Imagine the ego on that.
Right? And the combination of the destruction of ego and the sensory, right, shaking out of this fantasy is what reminds him it's not worth it. Right, and this again, at a much lower level, we all have the Avera, right? We would all stop if we just could take a moment and say, "It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it." Right? This is not as enticing as it looks. Right? Everyone has this moment where they thought they needed to do an Avera, right? And then afterwards, they feel disgusting about themselves. Right? It's like, why did I do that? I didn't really have to do that. Right? I thought I was overcome by my taiva, but I'm not. Right? So that's what happens. And what does he do? That shakes him out. And what does he do? Right? He puts his head between his legs and he tries. First, what does he try to do? It's a beautiful Gemara. What does it say? What is everyone's first reaction when they realize that they have done something that they themselves don't like?
Finally,
we do it.
But what's their first reaction? Yeah, the first reaction is, okay, I need help. I need someone else to help me. Right? Rebbe, help me. My parents, help me. Psychologist, whatever. Right? Right, help me. I'm losing control of myself. Right, help me. But what's the answer? In the end of the day, it doesn't work. Right, you want to do tshuva? There's only one answer. There's only one way to do tshuva, and that is for you to do it. You can ask for help. You can ask people for inspiration. Right, but at the end of the day, no one's going to do it for you. Right, and the Gemara tells you what is the pinnacle of the moment of tshuva when someone is able to say, "Ein hadavar talui ela bi." It depends on me. Right? It depends on me. Yeah.
I think that the significance is of the Zona saying,
like that particular image?
Meaning, A, what's the deal with the Zona calling him out? And like being like, they're not going to call you the Tshuva. Why does she say, you know, why is she so sure that they're not going to call you the Tshuva?
So again, I assume, right,
three,
it's getting at, right,
three,
it's like...
What's the deal with the image of the,
Meaning, look, so I assume it's a combination of, right, some of it is, you know, the smell is, right, is sort of shocking him and maybe her also for a moment, right?
Right.
Right? I mean, look, it could be partially, you know,
like,
it's also her Tshuva, right? Meaning she's also...
In terms of, like, what do you think, like, the sort of psychological sort of evolution of the moment is?
So
in the beginning, she's like, ready to serve him. She's getting a lot of money from him.
Correct.
She rips one, and he doesn't even say anything. He doesn't even say, I regret it. And then she rips one, and then she just goes, you're a loser, you're not going to do Tshuva.
Right.
You're
so I assume part of it is also...
Like, he didn't even... It wasn't even, like, he initiated, like...
Correct. So, I mean, look, part of it might be she's a bit embarrassed, and she needs to come up with a...
A line.
You know? But a part of it is also, you know, and you know, look... Part of it is maybe that, look, a prostitute, it's easier for her to compartmentalize, right? She's saying, look, this is not who I am. It's what I do for a living. Right? It's my job. But I am a good, you know, good from girl, right? But this guy, right, he's paying for it, right? And at some level, right, like, you know, the prostitute is like, yeah, she's morally superior to him, right? She needs to remind him, like, in the end of the day, look, like, I do this for a living, right? You're doing it because you are a loser, right? Right? Like, right, don't think that you're paying me, right? You're on top, right? You're not, right? You're the one at the end of the day who's paying me, right? I'm the one who, this is my job at the end of the home, and then the day I go home, right, and I have money. You go home and you have nothing.
Why does she
right?
have to tell him that he's not going to be able to do tube? Is it like a challenge that she wants him to...
So I don't... Again, this is where it might be a little bit artistic. I think part of it is, right, is this, you know, this notion that maybe even a, right, even a prostitute, like, she has her moral standards, right? Right, she has her moral standards, and, like, you know, it's... Look, you're pathetic, right? You're pathetic. At the end of the day, like, what do you need me for?
What does that
right?
mean?
Right, like...
Though?
What?
What does that mean?
So that's the thing, is I think at some level she's compromised. We all do this, right? We compartmentalize, right? He's evil, I'm doing something bad, right? Right, and she's like, look, I'm a professional, right? This is not who I am, it's what I do for a living, right? Yeah, yeah. You don't think that's what many prostitutes think? I assure you that's what many prostitutes think, right? They do, there have been like studies about this, right? That they just think very lowly of all the people who come to them. Right? Like, I do this because I make money. I understand why I'm doing this. You, right? You're pathetic, right? Like, they've done all types of weird studies in Freakonomics. They've done, like, they have chapters on this of, like, you know, right? Like, they've interviewed, like, hundreds of prostitutes, try to see, like, why do they do what they do? What do they think of the people who come to them, right? And then they're, like, professional prostitutes, and then they're vacation prostitutes. They're just, like, they only when people are on vacation. It's, like, a whole, right? There's all type of interesting psychology going on there. And then, right, what the climactic moment where he says, "Ana davar tello yela bi," right, that real tribulation comes from him, and he cries and he dies because, right, he literally, right, there's nothing in him that's good. Right, the only way for him to do tshuva is to leave this world behind. Right, that's a type of tshuva, and Rebbe cries. Now, the certain Hasidic rebels are very upset about this line, right, because it's not fair. Right, so I think it was the Sfas Emes who was asked, and he said. Either he was asked or he asked his grandfather, right, the Chiddush HaRim, whatever it was, and they said, maybe it's only Olamo, right? He gets his world. It's not my world. It's not the world of being from your whole life, right? I don't know, right? I don't know if that's true or not. Like, it's not fair, right? He gets to enjoy the pleasure of this world for the whole life, right? And then at the last moment, just Chuba. I don't know. It doesn't bother me so much.
He could do it too.
Yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't bother me.
Yes! No, it's not, yeah. Ellie. I think the idea is that
I didn't say it bothered me. I, you know.
If you risk it, if you risk this lifestyle and then think you're going to be able to pull it off at the end, you know, good luck, sure, if you can pull it off.
Right, no, it's very hard, right? It kills him. It literally kills him. So but that's what the Gemara is saying. Now, the last line, though, is the Gemara says not only does he, right, not only does he, is he accepted, right, and not just accepted, he's invited into Olam Haba, right? He's Rebbe. What is Rebbe? Right? That's a little bit weird. Right? What does it mean, Koren Hosom Rebbe?
I'll figure out a way.
Right? He's called Rebbe. What does that mean? So, look, you could take this very, like, simplistically. It just means, like, not only does he get into Olam Haba, but, like, he gets into Olam Haba with Kavod. Right? That could just be what it is. But, I think there might be more to it. I mean, Rebbe, right? When Koren Hosom Rebbe, remember, like, original smicha isn't just, like, you know a lot. It's like, it's a status, right? It's like, you can know Kol HaTorah Kula and not have formal smicha, because formal smicha requires somebody, Ish Mipish from Moshe Rabbeinu, to grant you smicha and, like, make you part of a chain that makes you larger than, right, yourself, right? You become part of history, right? You become part of the chain of the Mesorah, right? I think at some level what it's saying is that, right, what's amazing is not only becomes, is he accepted, but, right, at some level he becomes transcendent, right? Like, he taps into something bigger than himself, larger than right, larger than himself, right? That's already incredible, right? That at some level, the way we call someone Rebbe, and we say, you are a legitimate heir to the Mesorah, right? He is a, right? He is an heir to a tradition of tshuva, right? Even though it was at the last moment, what is it saying? He never lived a life that makes him part of the Jewish people, right? But at the last moment, right, he does something that is so authentically Jewish that he becomes associated with the train of the Mesorah, right? With the train of the Mesorah. And that's quite impressive.
So why can't we do that? Why can't we just live a whole entire life?
So first of all, it's unlikely it'll happen. And then it's also the question, what does it mean? Does it mean that really, that like, is he really at the level of everybody else? Look, it's clearly great, but is that better than living a life which is all good? right? That's what the Hasidim, I think, are getting at, right? That maybe he gets his olam. That doesn't mean that the life of someone who does good his whole life isn't better fundamentally.
I mean, like, look, he's going from a really negative to a positive, right? Everyone just says Jewish is just doing nothing. They're just being neutral, which is...
Well, it's not neutral, so that's not true. I think at some level...
Positive, which is positive, but they're
no, but I think at some level also, all of us in our lives, we have those moments,
yeah,
right?
Of course, everyone does, but like...
Where we're doing tshuva, obviously, and things that are hard. Right?
Yeah, but we still consider ourselves Jewish. If he's completely taken out of this equation, and he comes back into the equation, why can't we do that all?
I mean, you can, but again, I mean, you can't really. I mean, obviously, chatchila, you can't do that. That's what the Gemara at the end of Yoma says. If you say, right, if you say echta v'ashu, if you say I'm going to sin so that I can do tshuva, then the tshuva becomes the echitimsa for you sinning, and therefore it doesn't work.
What if it becomes real?
Well, so that's an interesting view. Correct, that's an interesting view. Oh, it's okay, we have 30 seconds. Okay, but anyways, but again, I think there's a lot more in this, but you see the model, and even within these, they're inspirational, they're meant to inspire, or they're meant to at least make you think, right? Even if it's not like the metaphysical ones where you have to look for codes, right?
Yeah.
Quick idea on the Rebbe thing. Maybe the idea is that his meaning, like, questions, like, in what capacity is he now a rabbi that he is or whatever?
And maybe he teaches people how to do tshuva. Yeah, that's another possibility, right? I thought about that also, that maybe he is meant to be the Rebbe of tshuva.
Yeah.
Okay. I gave you another little piece from an article at the end, but we won't continue with it this week, but you can't go through Avodah Zarah without at least touching on this Agadata.
Right.